The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, always available, always free, always odd.
Better ghost hunter. Be a better investigator. Be a better researcher. With the help of 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. It's bonus content. It's part two of 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks. Guys, what can I say? The first round of this, when I put it out a week or so ago, really got over with people, man. People love this. And wow, I'm just blown away by the amount of positive feedback I've gotten from it. I had one person say that they just really appreciate that I took the time to say some things about our field that really need to be said from someone who's within it, not someone who's attacking it. And I thought that was really something. There's a lot of people out there who are, shall we say, in the camp where they don't want to follow ghost hunting hacks or take advice. And you know what? If you want to be that kind of person, fine. I don't really want you as part of my paranormal world anyway. I want good people who are willing to learn just like me. And the reason why I'm putting this out here, and I said this in episode one, chances are you probably already heard me say this in episode one. But if you haven't, I'm just going to say this to you. this is a two-part bonus content, couple of episodes I put up for the Halloween season. My podcast is once a month. It's the first of every month. But if you so happen to stumble upon this podcast, no, this isn't the format that I usually follow. This is bonus content with just ghost hunting hacks or tips or whatever you want to call them. I will say this, though. The feedback I got was really positive about the first installment of this podcast. And I think 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks is just something you can listen to anytime, especially before you go out in the field with people who are new. And I think that's really, really important, because chances are a lot of us are learning how to ghost hunt from what we see on TV, and nothing can be farther from the truth of what actual paranormal investigation is. Okay, I'm ready to dig in with number 51. I hope you're ready. I'm ready. Let's do this. Ghost hunting hack number 51. Pareidolia is a strange human mechanism that results in our brain seeing patterns and random data. Please have multiple people check your EVPs for this reason. I recently had my own wife tell me that there's nothing there. And you know, it's, don't get me wrong. I kind of longingly looked at the photograph, but she told me, you know what? You're making sure, man. There's nothing there. And I know she's a good second party view because she hates the paranormal with a passion. Like, my wife doesn't want anything to do with it. So when I convince her of something, it usually is damn solid. Like, really, really, really solid. If you can't be a skeptic, find one. Embrace yourself. You know, it's a little hard on some people's egos sometimes. And I'll say this much to you. I am a big fan of having somebody on board in a paranormal investigation team that is the deadpan serious person who's going to be like, you know what, guys, there's nothing going on here. You're going to have to find something more convincing. Because I believe that when you find the data that is convincing to a person who's skeptical, okay? And remember, being skeptical is a lot different than being closed-minded. Closed-minded is someone who just refutes what you're saying with passion. There's absolutely no such thing as ghosts. I don't want nothing to do with what you're saying. That's not a skeptic. That's someone who's closed-minded. A skeptic is somebody who's willing to listen to both sides of an argument and hasn't really made a decision yet. So if you get someone on your team who's skeptical, though, really all members of your team should be skeptical, in my opinion, but I digress. I'll just say this to you. Make sure you got someone around who has a level head and knows not every single thing that goes bump in the night is from the other side, okay? Ghost hunting hack 52. Thermal laser guns are a great way to capture evidence of a spirit. It provides visual evidence as well as temperature data. See how smart I sounded there? Didn't I sound good there? I said temperature data. Dark colored objects give the most accurate temperature reading. Shiny objects may reflect infrared light back to the thermometer, which will mess up the temperature reading. Solution, point it at something, black, or use black tape. Very helpful tip right there, especially if you're investigating, say, an old basement where, let's be honest, there's drafts and stuff going on. So you want to make sure things are copacetic. You want to make sure things are of the same temperature. So think about being in like a really cold place or a really hot place. You want to have a base reading. A black piece of tape on a wall goes really, really far. Ghost hunting hack number 53. While using the thermal gun, I would get excited when I see a significant drop of minus 10 degrees on command. I saw on a show a while ago somebody getting excited over 3 degrees. And to be honest, all it made me want to do is turn the show off. Small changes in temperature is just ridiculous, guys, for data and evidence. Don't do that. If you do that, just stop doing it. It has to be significant and on command before we consider data. It's not solid enough for me, and I'm a believer, for Christ's sake. Okay? Ghost hunting hack number 54, record the thermal session on camera or do not bother at all. As well, base readings are going to make that so much more believable. If cold spots are a known phenomenon at the location, then take a few minutes and record these. There you go. Get baseline readings of everywhere in the building or outside or wherever the heck it is you're to. Get the baseline readings, because then when you see the drop and you have it on camera, that is solid data with something to back it up by. I know it's tedious. I know it takes a lot of time. And 99.9% of the time, you're not going to see any difference. But listen, that one time it does, it's going to make all your precautionary stuff so much, just so much more worth it. Okay? Ghost hunting hack number 55. Use a lighter to check for breezes in window panes. Don't burn down the place, though. Not a good idea. And a little tip in here, also was written in by my good friend and editor, Steve Lake, of my book. He says, tinsel works as well. Okay, there you go. Try a lighter. Try a piece of tinsel around a window. It could really, really help you get an understanding that maybe these cold drafts people are feeling are not dead people. Maybe they're actually cold drafts coming from the window. Okay. Ghost hunting hack number 56. A true skeptic is unconvinced but open-minded enough to consider data and hear you out. And I just talked about that a few minutes ago. It's funny how that's that's actually a hack. Ghost hunting hack number 57. No one in your family has to support you, but if they do, it's a blessing and you should be very open about what you're into. And this is something I get a lot. I got a really large family and, you know, most of the time people think I'm a crackpot. And you know what? I'm fine with that. Whatever. Think I'm a crackpot. Like, they're the same people who are out doing crackpot things all the time. Trust me. Okay? But, you know, I do have some family members who support me. And you know, I just really appreciate those people. Just like you should. Okay? No one in your family has to support you. Just keep that in mind. And if they do, just cherish it. Ghost hunting hack number 58. Have a personal mission in all of your endeavors. You will need it 28 hours into a 60-hour review that will give you nothing evidence-wise. And trust me, that's happened to me before, too. Make it a personal mission. Make this a passion for yourselves, okay? Don't do this for the fame. Definitely don't do it for the money. I do it for the fame before I do it for the money. But I'm just saying. Do it for you. Ghost hunting hack number 59. Motion detectors are great for securing an area you do not want contaminated. But did you know there are different types? Some pick up thermal as well. I'd go with the one that can cut down on the amount of gear that you need. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of kinds of devices out there nowadays that have that, like, multiple devices built into it. I mean, that's the one you should be carrying unless they interfere with each other. And I won't name any products that came out within the last 2 years that obviously interfere with each other. Guys, anything with an antenna should not be plugged into a recorder. Are you out of your mind? Ghost hunting hack number 60. Do the best with what you have and be proud of that. Expensive gear and free time would be great, but it's not entirely necessary. Guys, do your best. I know people who just go out, bought a spirit box and just once a month go out and have a little bit of fun and that's it. They don't show off their data, nothing like that. Just do it for a pastime. Like, this doesn't have to be this media thing where everyone got to know your every move and stuff like that. Like, not at all. Ghost hunting can be a very personal thing. And that's what I'm getting across with this here, right? Ghost Hunting Hack number 61, the PSP 7 Ghost Box has a modified version with an AM sweep set. It is absolutely whisper quiet. It's what I use for two reasons. Free white noise generator and not ridiculously loud to review. 20 hours of that annoying ch-ch-ch-ch at super loud level makes me want to become a ghost myself. It's my pride and joy. You should definitely try to get things that are more quiet and easier on your own ears. Ghost Hunting Hack number 63, any moron can make a video these days with all the online help. Even I managed to learn it, so you definitely can as well. Guys, I sunk countless hours into editing videos so I could show off some of the really wild things I caught here in Newfoundland. You can too. Get online, research, get some software. I can't say enough good things about Sony Vegas. That's what I use. It really is for somebody who's not really into editing. Someone like myself, okay? So check that out. Also, free little plug there for Sony. Maybe you guys should sponsor me or something. Ghost Hunting Hack 64. Here's a great question. Why would you wear something that creates noise on a paranormal investigation? Lose the Columbia jacket. Lose the chains and car keys at the command center. Take the car key off the chain and put it in your pocket. My car usually is command center, let's be honest. Guys, take off anything that makes noise. Bad idea. Like, I was on an investigation with a lady not too long ago, and what did she have on? Bracelets, upper arms, rings everywhere, earrings hanging down, banging off her neck. Like, oh my lord, she sounded like a bunch of chimes, like, hanging out with me. So, like, this is a pretty basic thing, guys. Just anything that creates noise, right? That should be right up there with turning your cell phone down or off or whatever. Ghost Hunting Hack number 65. Take 3 pictures of each thing at a time and have the date stamped in the corner digitally. It's so much better for review and you can really see a change if one is there. Most cameras have a display you can switch on and off when you review. Such an important thing, guys. You got to timestamp everything. Why not let the machine do the work for you? Ghost Hunting Hack 66. Stomach growls sound an awful lot like evil demons. Coming to get me when amplified 75% and slowed down 50%. Eat and drink before an investigation, and if you make any sound at all by accident, simply state you made the sound. I'm telling you, you can save yourself hours of pondering a weird EVP just by making sure that what's going on is not you. If you stumble, if you bump into something, if your stomach growls, if you fart, if you belch, if you snort, if you sniff, say, oh, just me, oh, just me. That's all you got to say. It might seem tedious and annoying to the people around you, but for the person reviewing, it's a godsend. Ghost Hunting Hack 67, direct link your ghost box to a recorder. Now you can do EVP research anywhere. This is something I've done. I've actually had a spirit box going in my pocket, hooked up to a recorder before as I walked past a haunted location, just to see if anything popped up. Might sound a little strange to you why I would go through the trouble of doing that, but I'm going to say this to you. It's quiet, it's indiscreet, and if there's rumors of a place that's haunted, and I truly do believe the spirit box works, why not? Why not try it out? Also, it's another way of having a piece of gear on you at all times, okay? That's going while you're on the investigation that you don't have to worry about. You have a spirit box going, say, in your top pocket, and it's hooked up to a recorder. You forget all about it. You go about your investigation. Now you've got a direct link spirit box that maybe you can haul some data out of that might be interesting, right? Just an idea. Ghost Hunting Hack number 68, buy some fur. Get a piece of felt and glue it together to form a glove for your recorder. Voila! It's a $5 wind blocker for your recorders and it works like crazy. I live in the third windiest place on the planet, Newfoundland. And let me tell you, I need, even inside sometimes, I need that recorder cover. Guys, it's a cheap way around it. Enjoy that hack. You can get the stuff at Walmart. Ghost Hunting Hack 69, don't act like a diva until you're paid like one. Man, oh man, the people I've come across in this field. Let me tell you, like, the quintessential Ghostbuster guy who does this on the weekends and has a million followers all over the place and, you know, just throws up all of his data without checking it, and you can tell it's all fake, and you just look at all the weird stuff, and there's pictures of him or her being scratched and all this garbage. Guys, that's one thing. But then you got people who have a small following, who think they're famous. Okay? Who have a small... And their ego, okay, is what you're dealing with in this situation. And I always had the old adage, until I'm paid like a diva, I will not be one. Ghost Hunting Hack number 70. If a team seems good, ask to tag along. If you feel they are still good, join them if you can. If you cannot, learn what you can and start your own. I wish more credible groups were here in Newfoundland. I really do, but they aren't. And for the most part, it's me and a couple other people who are here doing it, but no one ever contacts me. No one ever talks to me about being part of the team or nothing like that. And there's a reason for that. And it's because I have made myself very publicly clear that I do not believe in the ghost hunting team that much. I don't think it's completely necessary, at least not for my part of research, which is just strictly audio. I can do that by myself. But what I will say is this, and this is really, really, really important. Okay. If there was a credible group here in Newfoundland doing this, and they were really, really good, and I thought they were an awesome team, I'd do everything I could to be a part of that team. Because I'm going to learn from those people just like you would, right? Also, I might have a chance to teach them a thing or two as well. So, we all learn from each other. There's no experts in this field. I guess what I'm trying to say is, man, like, if you can find a team, and there's one around you that is credible, jump out there, man. Get your head out there. Get out there. Do it. Get it done. Because you know what? You could be like Johnny Mallor, who lives in Eastern Canada, with only 500,000 people on a small island, and very few people are doing this. Ghost hunting hack number 71, there are no experts in our field, only experienced people who have been around for a long time. I plan on being one someday. Something to strive for. Ghost hunting hack 72, just because you're a ghost hunter does not mean you pursue Bigfoot, Nessie, and our card-carrying member of MUFON. Look for Mothman or even care about those other areas. Be vocal about your individual beliefs and never lie about them. I have gone out to places where people are like, we're seeing weird stuff. We want you to come out. We think there's paranormal activity. And I get there and they start talking, it's about Bigfoot. And I'm just like, guys, this is not what I do. I don't have any care at all. None about Bigfoot. It's not what I do. And I'm very vocal about that because that's something a lot of people do. They like to generalize and group things together. And when you start doing that, you usually wind up with, unfortunately, a person or two who are saying they know a lot about a subject because they're into the paranormal, but realistically, they know nothing. This podcast, okay, very seldomly do I talk about UFO and the UFO agenda, okay? I don't do that, so what did I do? I reached out to my good friend, Laura Gilbert, and she is a member of MUFON, and she's on my show every single month, okay? The Odd Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast always has Laura on because she's a card-carrying member of MUFON, and she knows more about the subject than me. There you go. Same thing with my investigations. Be vocal about your beliefs. If not, people might think otherwise. Ghost hunting hack number 73. What's your favorite part of investigating? Pick it, get good at it, and specialize within your group. I'm an EVP researcher. It's what I love to do. I've written books about it. I can't get enough of it. I just love it. I love it. But you know what I cannot stand doing? I hate camera work. Oh my God, it drives me nuts. I don't care about being on camera and I don't want to use a camera. I hate that so much. I'd rather not. But guess what? It really helps to have footage. So I hope someone will join me on investigations who likes camera like I like doing EVP work. Same thing with people who like making videos. I'm not a huge fan of making videos. I find them time consuming. I find them very hard on you because you put a lot of work into something and, you know, you might get a couple hundred people look at it, not the thousands and thousands you wish would. I feel that video editing is a very thankless job. But there's some people out there who love doing that. They do it for fun. Those are the people you should be looking for to get on your team, man. Find the people who do the things you don't like and who enjoy them. And they'll probably be really happy that you're the one looking for EVP, you know, listening to the ghost box for 3 or 4 hours at a time when it's going ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch constantly. You know what I mean? There's a trade-off there. And why not? Why not have people who are in your group who are good at one thing? One thing. Think about that. I know a paranormal investigating group in the States. I won't say who they are, but they have a wheelman. He's a team member and all he does is drive, pick up the other members and bring them to the location. That's his job. Sounds crazy, right? But you know what? It's still something to do with the team. It's how he gives back, right? Ghost hunting hack number 74. A good, reliable cameraman is hard to find. If you have one, pay his way or buy a GoPro. Unfortunately, I have done both. I put the GoPro stuck it on my head. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Ghost hunting hack number 75. Everybody is your friend in this field until you disagree with them or on their work. Speak your mind anyhow. It will prepare you for the hard-nosed skeptics that will be 100% against your beliefs in every way. Oh, boy. And you know, we kind of already touched on that. You really got to be knowledgeable about the paranormal. You can't just go out and start doing this on a whim and not know anything about it, because as soon as people start to challenge your data, You have got to be ready, man. You have got to be ready. I have a knowledge base in physics, and I will admit, I never got that knowledge base until I started getting into this stuff. I needed to know. Everyone's your friend in the field until they disagree with you. And I'm sure there's people right now listening to my podcast who probably disagree with some of the things I've said so far, right? Look, speak your mind anyhow. Don't worry about everybody else. Goes on to hack number 76. Learn to meditate. I prefer yin yoga, but not everybody is as twisted as I am. Yes, that is a hilarious pun. It's very, very punny. I will say this. Meditation is important. You want to know why? Do you chat on your cell phone all day long while you're doing EVP sessions? No, you're completely quiet and you got to sit still. Guess what? That's not a normal state of being. Sitting still and not saying anything for hours at a time is not normal. You've got to train your body to do that. So what did I do? I did yoga for years, and it's really helped me with my breathing. It's really helped me with my moving. I have sat in absolute silence for hours. Well, not absolute silence. I'm still asking questions, but you know what I'm saying. Being able to sit still is a real hard thing to do. And if you can't do that, you should try yoga. Try it out, man. Learn to meditate. Yoga. Do it. Ghost Hunting Hack 77. Stay hydrated and warm. Guys, I can't stress that enough. Look after your bodies. Most of you are not getting paid to do this. Look after yourselves. Go to the bathroom. Take a break. Leave your recorders going and come back later. You'll never know what you might catch. Ghost hunting hack number 78. Keep memoirs either for a book or some real life ghost stories for the grandkids. You know, why do you do what you do? And what are people going to think of what you've done 100 years from now? Are they going to remember you? Are these questions that even cross your mind? They should. You should have friends like me all the time asking you these questions, because you know what? They are what make you, you. What legacy are you going to leave behind, man? What are you going to leave there for people? I know that my son and daughter are going to grow up in a home where ghosts are possible. Okay? Not impossible, as they be taught everywhere else. This is going to change their lives. It's going to affect them on some level. And when they get older, they're going to ask me questions. You know, everyone in my school, you know, say, ghosts aren't real, daddy. What am I supposed to do? And I say, well, listen to this. And you be the judge. I'm leaving a legacy for my kids with my paranormal investigating and these podcasts. These podcasts are me. They've been around for 2 years. It's 2 years of me. If I hate to say it, but if I ever die, okay, if I ever pass away, these podcasts are going to be there for anybody who still wants to hang out with me every now and then. That's what they're there for. So what are you leaving? What are your memoirs? I turned my memoirs into a book. You could do it too, you know. Ghost hunting hack number 79, you're going to die. Relate to spirits, not interrogate spirits. Oh boy. I think this is really awesome because it gives me a chance to say something to you. I do not do the whole provoking thing when I'm out doing EVP sessions. I find it doesn't work. The whole idea that I'm comfortable with my own mortality, that I know I'm going to die, and the reason why I do this is because I don't know what happens to me when that happens, is a huge part of who I am and why I do what I do. So when I go out into the field, I try to relate to spirits. I try to envision them sitting down in front of me, and I try to talk to them. I try to envision them already there and me talking to them just like they're a normal, regular, everyday person. I don't sit down and ask them 50 questions. Where were you two on the night of this? What happened then? Blah, blah, blah. I ask more generalized conversation questions. I actually have had more luck with EVP just having a passing conversation with myself in the dark. Of course, I don't believe I'm alone. Ghost hunting hack number 80. Night vision cameras are great, but lighting is expensive for these to work properly. But I have a cheap little hack just for you to get around this. Why don't you try black light bulbs? They're cheap and very effective. Guys, this could save you hundreds of dollars. Black light bulbs, dollar store. They're going to go on sale on November 1st. Trust me. Halloween is over. Go to dollar store and pick up a pile of black lights. You will not be sorry. Ghost hunting hack number 81. Some of the best investigators swear by talcum powder. It's great for stairs and areas of reported footsteps. I personally would use it to see if objects have moved in your absence. What an amazing idea. Such a simple little thing. Somebody talks about glasses being moved on the table. Put the glass in the talcum powder. When you come back, if it's moved, guess what? You validated their claims. Goes on to hack number 82. I have studied moon phases with regards to spirit activity and have found no real correlation in my own endeavors. So no need to postpone your outing because the moon is not full. Guys, just going to put it out to you. I've tried, okay? I have tried. and I've started and I have researched the idea that a full moon may affect a haunting. Guys, it doesn't. It's lore. But it does affect your body one way. And during sleep, it actually increases melatonin. So there you go. Does it have something to do with paranormal investigating? Maybe. Remember, you're in a quieted state most of the time when you're paranormal investigating. You're almost asleep sometimes when you're paranormal investigating. Maybe they're linked. Maybe it has something to do with it. But all in all, I've looked at my data sheets. I have 22 investigations at Cape Spear, Newfoundland, all during full moons and not during full moons. And guess what? 9 investigations I captured true EVP, which is my standard, of course, I use. I caught them on 9 investigations. Guess what? Not one of them were a full moon, and I had 6 or 7 full moons during other investigations. So there you go. It's take it with a grain of salt. Some people swear by it, me not so much. Ghost hunting hack number 83. I'm very unsure of psychics, but only because I've never worked with one. Just like a piece of equipment I've never used, I would be open to one if I see hard evidence of their ability in the field by my side. It would have to be someone I know and someone I trust before I take them on investigations with me. We have no idea how psychics work or why. Okay, we have absolutely no idea. So the best thing we can do is just be open-minded to the idea that it could be possible. If a psychic approached me and said, I want to join you on an investigation, I would pretty much want to sit down with him and talk with him for a couple of days first and maybe get a feel for how he reads and stuff like that. I would want to get used to this new piece of gear before I bring it out into the field. How much more raw and basic can you possibly be? Using a psychic is no different than using a recorder. If you don't know how to use it and you and you push the wrong buttons, it might blow up in your face. God, I love that analogy. It was pretty awesome. Ghost hunting hack number 84. We experimented with EM pumps, and in my own personal experience, residual hauntings in closed areas are the perfect place for these. We actually have examples of EVP from an intelligence source telling us to turn it off. We ceased using them after that due to the lack of evidence and worry that maybe it's interfering with our gear. Guys, it was. It was interfering with my gear. It was interfering with my cameras. It was interfering with a lot of stuff. That being said, the EM pump I had, I made myself from a little rotating motor and some magnets, some high power magnets from TVs. An EM pump has never really been proven to do a whole lot. But, you know, just throwing it out to you. Spirits are aware of them when you use them. And I don't really know how much more of a hack I can give you there. If I was you, I'd probably just avoid them and use something else. Ghost hunting hack 85. Ley lines are an interesting subject and borrow from the Chinese subject of feng shui. I'm fascinated with the subject of alignment of monuments, but be ready for a huge cup of mysticism if you partake in this research. This is a hack because I think it's tied into why some places are haunted. I think ley lines may have something to do with it. I think points of energy on our planet that are emitting energy may have something to do with the way communication happens between spirits and us. Maybe, just maybe, they're using these channels of energy to help communicate, or maybe they're even powered by it. All I can say is this, just look into ley lines and see if where you're about to investigate is a cross one. You might see a correlation over the years of places that have high amounts of ley lines running through them with higher amounts of paranormal activity. I have noticed it in Newfoundland significantly. So, there you go. Ghost hunting hack 86. If you have long hair tied up and put it under a cap, hair looks an awful lot like ghostly mist and figures when overexposed by a camera. You heard me, ladies and fellows with long hair. Put that hair away. That stuff just floats in the air, and I've taken overexposed hair quite a few times, and it's a little shocking at first because it looks like something wispy and weird is flying in front of your camera. But realistically, it's just your friend's hair. Ghost hunting hack number 87. Guys, there's so many people out there who have podcasts and stuff like that about how to ghost hunt. Why not listen to them? You're listening to one right now. Why not give them a chance too? There are many, many out there. And I'm not going to say who to go to or anything like that. I'm just saying look it up online because this is not the only one of its kind. Of course, it's probably the only one of its kind that has such a catchy name. But I digress. Learn from these podcasts and webinars and stuff like that because they are out there and they will make you a better investigator. Ghost hunting hack number 88. After an investigation, me and my partner used to be, you know, reviewing some of our evidence on site in the car. We have a few direct link cables and they make it easy and fun. You can chug a copy and see if you actually got something. That is, I to this day, I still do that because after a 4 or 5 hour investigation, I know you want to take a break, but you also kind of want to make sure that everything you did kind of worked. So why not throw one of your recorders out of your car and just let it play and listen? It's part of the excitement of it, you know? Maybe you'll hear something on site and it just makes things so much more real when you're still there. I think we go and we do our investigations and then we leave too fast, is what I'm trying to say to you. We leave too fast. We pack up our gear and we go. there's something about sitting in the car and listening to your recorder and seeing if you can hear some stuff that just, it just feels so natural to me. And I don't know why, but I'll say this to you. Being on site and hearing what might have been caught is just so cool. I don't know why. It just is. Ghost hunting hack number 88. After investigation, Ghost hunting hack number 89. Me and former partners have constantly disagreed on evidence. A true partner and member of your group would be able to speak their mind on what was captured. Veteran investigators are wrong all the time. All the time. There, I said it. I don't care if you've been doing this for 15 years. You are wrong all the time. It happens. There's no way you can possibly be right constantly. You're going to screw things up. You need a second person, third person, fourth person to kind of be like, okay, this is what you're doing wrong. Get over yourselves and focus on your purpose is all I'm trying to say to you there. You are not the greatest ghost hunter on the planet. You never will be. If you can't get comfortable with that idea, how can you possibly be an advocate for the paranormal? Ghost hunting hack number 90. Unfortunately, supposedly haunted places are often hangouts for drug dealers and other crazy shenanigans you don't want any part of. Take a team to a sketchy place or avoid it altogether. I don't go to weird places because I'm a solo ghost hunter. But if you got a team of people, it's so much more comforting to know that they're there with you, okay? Don't go to places that are drug dens and prostitute houses and all this stuff investigating. Like, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. Ghost hunting hack number 91. Here's a confession from me, and I don't want you guys to judge me too much when I say this, but I do have this little ego thing where someday I want to be the go-to guy in Eastern Canada for electronic voice phenomena. I want people to send me their data. Okay, that's one of my dreams. My dream is to be a prolific on the subject, write books about my experiences, and hopefully help and change lives someday with my findings. But, you know, why are you in this? Shouldn't you have a dream as well with all of this? What are you doing this for? Really? What's your dream? Don't look at me and say my dream is to catch the Holy Grail. I want the full body apparition. Well, you know what? You're going to get that full body apparition. You're going to get it on camera. And then what? You're going to give up? You're going to throw it all down? You have got to have reasons to keep doing this. If not, I guarantee you, you'll be done within a couple years. And most people are. Ghost hunting hack number 92. During a client interview, you should treat people with utmost respect and courtesy. I use the mirroring technique. And it helps them open up quite a bit. Sit how they sit and use the tone they use. They will open up more and you'll get all the right info. Never talk down to them or insinuate that the claims they make or are not legit. Be a guest and an investigator, but none of or the other. Be a guest and an investigator. Be courteous to your host, but don't string them along. And we talked about this on the last podcast too, because people tend to do this a lot. Just think about it from their point of view. Think about it from their point of view. If you're getting your house investigated, you think there's paranormal activity going on there, you're already freaked out, and then you get somebody who's in who you probably look at as probably type of an expert. Like, if someone called me in their house, they know I'm more knowledgeable than them on the subject. I'm going to go in there and sit at the table, and the first thing I'm going to do is sit down and scare the crap out of them. Like, that is not what you're supposed to do. Yet people do it all the time because they want more likes on Facebook. Guys, you got to sit down with your client and show them respect and courtesy. And I mentioned that mirroring thing because it really helps them open up and be more comfortable. Okay? Ghost hunting hack number 93. I believe the more skeptical you are, the better. You'll dig deeper and matrix less. Sometimes you have to be the party pooper because your credibility is important when you do catch something spectacular and show the world. I had a girl come to me not too long ago, and she's like this prolific ghost hunter out around the bay here in Newfoundland. Everyone loves her. She's a really good-looking girl, really smart girl. She got her good head on her shoulders, and she brought me her data, and she's like, I want you to take a listen to this because I know you're pretty awesome at this. And I was like, okay, cool, thanks. Thanks for stroking my ego. And I sat down and listened to it, and I was just like, this is absolute garbage. There's nothing here. And she basically said to me, you're wrong. And got huffy and left. And I thought about it afterwards, and I was like, you know what? If you're going to get huffy and leave, you shouldn't even be doing this. Like, what a sook. That's beside the point. You have to be skeptical. I know that the person who got the K2 in their hands and it's going off are completely wrong. There's no way that's a spirit. There's no way that's a spirit because you're moving the K2 with your hand. Okay? That's to be stationary. The more you know about the subject, the more skeptical you'll be of other people. And this is why a team setting is probably not good for someone who's at, say, where I'm to, we'll say. Okay? I go out and work with a team and I'll just tear them apart. I don't want nothing to do with it. Why would I do that? It's not fun. Okay? You know, being that party pooper, it means your credibility stays intact. So you be the choice. You can be the life of the party and be famous, or you can be credible. I got news for you. Famous fleeting. Credibility is forever. Ghost hunting hack number 94, debunking should be removed from your vocabulary. It means you yourself doubt those claims. Doubting is no different than believing without evidence. Go on open-minded and based on evidence, make your assumptions. You are not on location to prove or disprove. You are there to gather data. That is it. And that's another thing too. You know, we strive so much as paranormal investigators to find the data, to correlate with the story so that we can link it together and in our own hearts have proof that this stuff is real. But at the end of the day, we're all just morons in the dark with a flashlight and a recorder and a spirit box if we don't approach this the right way. And if you approach this with this idea that you want to prove those clients are right, you are what's wrong with this field. You should not be doing that. You should be going in there trying to prove that spirits and spirit activity is real. Okay? That should be your mindset. Don't prove people's claims. Go in there and collect the data and let other people make up their own mind. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at here. Okay? I have been on investigations with people who have sworn up and down that they are the be-all and end-all. They can go into a location, haul up all this information. They can lock on the data to the EVPs they capture and convince the masses that what they're doing truly is real. But at the end of the day, they lack the credibility. And the reason why they lack the credibility is because they spent many years going to houses and agreeing with people. I have no problem at all telling a client that their house is not haunted. How many times have you told a client as a paranormal investigator that their house is not haunted? How many times? Most of us are going to say no. It's as simple as that. Ghost hunting hack number 95. Separate your personal life and paranormal life. It's hard to, but it will be in your best interest. Trust me. I guarantee you will see significant growth on both ends when you are in harmony. Okay? I keep my personal life separate from my paranormal life. I try my best to. Don't get me wrong. You make friends in the field, and I love people, and people love me. But you know what? I have a very set number of friends who I confide in, and none of them are involved with the paranormal. Trust me. Paranormal is something that is just for me. And if I meet people along the way that I care about, that's great. But at the end of the day, I separate, like, say, me and my wife, I keep them separate from the paranormal now. She doesn't like the paranormal anyway, so it's easy. I keep my kids away from the paranormal right now, right? When they get older, I'll tell them more about it. They're only little kids right now. Get the idea. I guarantee you you're going to see that growth and harmony. So there you have it. Separate your personal life and your paranormal life. You might notice a big difference, okay, when things are going in harmony. Ghost hunting hack number 96, rest your mind, body, and soul. Burning yourself out is never a good idea and is never worth it. Never go in tired or not feeling 100% in the field. I can sit back and tell you many stories where I've gone to ghost hunts just tired, and it just wasn't any fun. And I could feel it in my soul that I didn't want to be there. I'm so damn tired, especially with little kids. Like, there's a reason why people do this and stop for a year or two and then get back into it, guys. Like, it's not the end of the world, okay? And also, people will argue me when I tell them, I believe there's a season for this stuff. Because you know what? If I'm out ghost hunting every single weekend, how can I possibly have time with my kids? How can I possibly have awesome Halloweens and awesome Christmas stuff with my kids if I'm so busy with investigations? Just going to throw this out there to you. I have had 7 appearances, 3 podcasts, 2 radio interviews, all these other podcasts I've had to make. I've made 4 shows for this month because technically November 1st is the 4th show, which you'll also get. But I just throwing it out to you. I have a lot going on this month, a lot, because I'm heavily involved in paranormal. But on Halloween, I'm not doing any of this. And you want to know why? Because I'm taking my kids out trick-or-treating. And at the end of the day, they are more important to me than the paranormal. So keep that in mind for yourselves. Rest your mind, body, and soul. Take some time away from the haunted houses. Spend some time with your family. Someday they'll all be ghosts, and you don't want to have to hunt them to let them know how your life is going because they miss you so very much. Ghost hunting hack number 97. Look back at what you have accomplished as an investigator. Are you proud or not? If not, change your ways and really think about what you can do to get better. Now, I'm isolated in Newfoundland, and there are very few paranormal investigators here. I learn what I can from books, and this helped me immensely. The investigator I was at first couldn't hold a candle to me now because he probably wouldn't have had enough sense to bring one with him before the investigation. There you go. Ghost Hunting Hack 98. The three hardest words in the human language to string together are please help me. Whether it's from the client or an investigator point of view, it's hard to admit we can't do this alone. The best should help the rest. If they don't, then they are failures themselves, in my opinion. We all want the same things, to help people, to answer personal questions we have about the afterlife, or even to just do something exciting. Why be part of the drama when you can join the revolution? And that's important. Why do you think I'm making this podcast? I don't make any money off this podcast. Yes, I have some listeners, but there's no guarantee that you guys are ghost hunters. You might just like the paranormal and listen to my podcast. Guess what? I made this because I want to help people. If even one person out there listens to this podcast and learns one thing, then I'm a great success. I'm a great success. And so is that person. Okay? Ghost hunting hack number 99, research, investigate, pursue. It's the motto of the Life After Death Society because that is the investigation order I follow. What could be yours? It should be tied to your group's ethics and purpose and mandate. I think it's really important. It's just like having a chair for your team if you're in college football. Like, you should have that. You should have that kind of camaraderie. Ghost hunting hack number 100. If it stops being fun, quit. A rough patch is to be expected. But, you know, if it becomes like torture to be part of all this, just walk away. There's too many bitter people out there and they ruin it for everybody else with a passion. This is supposed to be thrilling and fun. Don't bring other people down. If you had enough of paranormal investigating, walk away. Trust me, the ghosts are still going to be there if you ever decide to come back. Ghost hunting hack number 101 and our final one. This is my sage advice for you guys, and I hope you guys take this serious, because if there was ever a hack that you need to know, it's this one, and I saved it for the very last. The most sage advice I could ever give somebody in the paranormal field is to never stop learning. Research the heck out of everything related to your particular area and get the information from good sources, reputable people, not dorks on TV. Read books, listen to podcasts, watch documentaries, and follow other groups who seem to have a more legit approach. Become your area of interest and invite everybody else out there to what you are, okay? You don't have to be a para-celeb, okay, to have para-cred, in my opinion. Guys, I really hope you like these 101 ghost hunting hacks. I put them together just for you. I hope you have a great Halloween. I love you to death. I'll be back on November 1st with our brand new episode. I think you're really going to like it. It's going to get you out of the Halloween spirit, so to speak. But I'll say this. You have been just amazing to me with this last podcast I put out, part one. This is part two. Guys, check out both of these bonus content episodes if you really enjoyed it. I've had nothing but positive feedback, and I really hope you guys enjoy these two little extras this month. Guys, from the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Eye of the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Happy ghost hunting.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Eye of the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Eye of the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Eye of the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever popular parajoke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.